Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Genesis chapter 37, verses 12 to 36. The Reverend Randy Asbury is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 37. Now Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see that what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Question. How can God possibly work with and through such a dysfunctional dysfunctional family? Answer: dysfunctional families are all he has to choose from. But God can and does work through the dysfunction to accomplish his salutary purposes. Today's reading comes right on the heels of that account of Joseph's dreams, that he would rule his whole family and his whole family would bow down to him. "Oh, you, the runt of the family, are going to rule us," said his 10 older brothers. And Father Jacob also rebuked him. "Oh, you think you're going to rule your parents and your brothers? And you think we're going to submit to you? Don't forget the fourth commandment, son." The Jacob family dysfunction was years in the making. First was that sneaky substitution of Leah for Rachel on Jacob's wedding night. Oh, and then marrying Rachel in addition. Then there was that whole competition between wives and concubines on who could provide the next baby for Jacob. And then the sneaking away from Uncle Laban with stolen false gods in tow. And then that awkward reunion with brother Esau. And then that revenge slaying of the Shechemites for the defiling of sister Dinah. And finally, a robe of many colors to put father's favoritism on full display. What a messed up family. It's no surprise that Joseph's dreams sparked a raging fire of hatred and vengeance, just waiting to lash out and burn. And along came the dreamer, literally the master of dreams. "Let's kill him and blame it on a lion or some other wild animal." And then Reuben spoke up for young Joseph. "Don't kill him, put him into a pit." Aha, more dysfunction. You see, sometime before this episode, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Perhaps Reuben was conspiring to get back on daddy's good side? Then came the opportune moment. Ishmaelite and Midianite traders came along, and by the way, both of these groups could also trace their family tree back to Abraham. "Hey, let's sell the young punk. We get rid of him, and we make a profit in the process." And off Joseph went into slavery in Egypt. Reuben's plan to regain father's favor was thwarted. And that glorious robe of many colors was defaced by dipping in blood. Jacob assumed, and no one bothered to correct him, that his favorite son had died a horrible death. And Jacob would grieve not just for the prescribed time, but for the rest of his life. And all that for a mere 20 shekels of silver, the going rate for a slave in that century. Dysfunction is not pretty. It hurts. It alienates. It rips apart family bonds. It's most difficult to overcome. It certainly cannot be ignored or avoided. Welcome to the human race. We all come from dysfunctional families. What dysfunction plagues your family? We all have dysfunctional relationships with each other, with friends, with coworkers, with next-door neighbors, and so on. What's your dysfunction? Ongoing frustration or jealousy or suspicion? Hurt or anger over a word misspoken? A task half done? A deadline missed? It's easy to see the dysfunctions in others, but we really need to examine our own selves. You see, all the dysfunction is the fruit of our sinful condition. When we read on in the Joseph story, we see two things. First, the dysfunction continues in many and various forms. Second, God still can and does work his saving purposes despite the dysfunction, even using the dysfunction. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That 20 shekel silver price tag for young slave Joseph put him in the right place to be God's instrument for rescuing Israel and his family from famine and for taking them to Egypt. And then God would work forgiveness and reconciliation between Joseph and his brothers. They meant it for evil against Joseph, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive. And we know and rejoice from the rest of Scripture that Jesus is our Joseph. Through Judas, we dysfunctional sinners handed him over for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave in the first century. And he was bound in the chains of our sin and dysfunctions and carried off. And he was nailed to a tree and then placed in the prison house of death. But then he burst forth victorious on the third day, and all the evils, all the betrayals, all the dysfunctions find their end in Jesus, the Messiah. His shed blood forgives them all. For Joseph and his family, for you and your family, for coworkers, friends, acquaintances. Yes, when dysfunctions and sin are not dealt with, they breed even more hurt and wickedness. But our Lord Jesus provides the answer, the only answer. His forgiveness brings it about that many people should be kept alive. Every sin and dysfunction may be honestly confessed and absolutely absolved. And Jesus' forgiveness for you frees you to forgive also. As St. Paul exhorted the Ephesian Christians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.